One of the wonders of the world is the Yam HaMelach, the Dead Sea. And it's relevant to this time of year, to the Yimei HaMitzarim, because the Torah references the Yam HaMelach four times in Torah Smaisha. Three times of the four is between the parashiyos of Maaseh and Devarim, which fall out during the Yimei HaMitzarim. So what's the connection between the Yam HaMelach and the Yimei HaMitzarim? In fact, the Bnei Yisachar in Eged Kala refers to the Yam HaMelach as the Malchus, the Sitra Achra, the stronghold of the Sitra Achra. And this needs an explanation, Amir Tzashem. What's interesting is that the Torah usually refers to the Yam HaMelach by two names simultaneously, Yam HaArava, Yam HaMelach. Why does the Torah have two names for the Yam HaMelach and not just one? So to begin this sugya, the Rambam in Hilchas Tzitzis, in the beginning of Perak Beis, when describing the color of the Tcheles, and in discussing the location of the Tcheles, of the Chilaza, he writes, "Ubayam HaMelach Umatzoi," that the Chilazan can be found in the Dead Sea, the Yam HaMelach. Now, the Radziner, who was very famous for his quest to discover the Tcheles, he explains that the Rambam, in saying that the Chilazan is found in the Yam HaMelach, is not referring to the actual Dead Sea, for a number of reasons, but one reason because nothing lives in the Yam HaMelach, because of the salt content. And he explains that the Rambam is referring to the Yam HaGadol, to the Mediterranean Sea. And that what happens is, the Chilazan is born in the Kinneret, and then makes its way to be found in the Yam HaGadol. Now why would the Rambam refer to the Yam HaGadol as the Yam HaMelach? He explains, because the Yam Kinneret is fresh water, and the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean, is salt water. And in order to tell us, to let us know, that the Chilazan can be found in the Yam HaGadol and not the Yam Kinneret, he refers to the Yam HaGadol as Yam HaMelach in order to note and to tell us which body of water it is found in, meaning the one which has the salt water and not the fresh water. It's actually very meduyuk in the Lashon of the Rambam, who says, "Ubayam HaMelach Umatzoi," it is found, according to what he's saying, that it's only found in the Yam HaMelach, but where it originates is actually the Kinneret. We could perhaps support this idea of the Radziner and why it's acceptable to refer to the Yam HaGadol as the Yam HaMelach, because Rashi tells us in Chumash, going back to Parashas Lech Lecha, which is the first time the Torah mentions the Yam HaMelach, the Torah says, "Al Emek Hasidim Hu Yam HaMelach," that the battle of the kings, the four kings and the five kings, took place in a valley called Sidim, which will eventually be, Rashi says, the Yam HaMelach. But at the time, it was not yet the Yam HaMelach. Rashi says that at some point in history, water filled this Emek, this valley, and from there became the Yam HaMelach. When that happens, we don't know. But there is a Medrash Seichel Tov in Parashas Beshalach, who identifies where the body of water came from, which entered into the Yam HaMelach. The Medrash says, "Melamed shenifratz Yam HaGadol l'Seichai," that the valley of Hasidim was filled with water from the Yam HaGadol. So based on this, that really the Yam HaMelach's water comes from the Yam HaGadol, we can explain, with a little bit of an added touch, why it is that the Rambam may also refer to the Yam HaMelach, I should say the Yam HaGadol is the Yam HaMelach, because really the waters of the Yam HaMelach originate from the Yam HaGadol. So just to sum up the Das, the Shita of the Radziner, that which the Rambam says, "Bayam HaMelach Umatzoi," that the Chilazan is found in the Yam HaMelach, is not really Yam HaMelach, nothing lives there. He's referring to the Yam HaGadol. And the reason why it's called Yam HaMelach is because it's the salty body of water. Perhaps, however, we can say a different shah. Yam HaMelach is really Yam HaMelach. But how did the Yam HaMelach come to be? How is it this wonder of the world that the Yam HaMelach is so much saltier, eight times it's brought down, than other bodies of water in the world? So perhaps the pshat is, and with this in explaining why the Torah refers to it as Yom HaMelech, as also Yom HaRava, etc., takes us to a Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Tes, where the Gemara says, "V'sha Shekadosh Baruch Hu Zeicher Es Banav Sheshoyim B'tzar." When Hashem remembers His children who are in pain and suffering amongst Umas HaOlam, Bein Umas HaOlam, Moirid Shnei Demaris Liam HaGadol, two tears from His eyes, Kivyachol, they fall, they into the Yam HaGadol. And this can be heard, the Gemara says, Misaifa Olam Be'at Saifa. What's this idea of these tears falling into the Yam HaGadol? So perhaps we see here the secret of the Yam HaMelech. Like we said before from the Medrash, the Seichel Taiv, that the Yam HaMelech became a body of water when the waters of the Yam HaGadol filled this valley. Well, if the waters of the Yam HaGadol are filling the valley, then they shouldn't be any saltier than the Yam HaGadol itself. So how does that account for the fact that it became the Yam HaMelech? But it could be that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these two tears which fall from his eyes, Kivyachol, enter into the Yam HaGadol, over time, the fact that every single day HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries tears of churban for his people, and they fall into the Yam HaGadol, eventually the Yam HaGadol became so salty that it became the Yam HaMelech. That means to say that the creation of the formation of the Yam HaMelech as it is a result of the tears of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of Churban Beis HaMikdash. It was once Yam HaGadol, and then it has become Yam HaMelech because of the Churban. Going back to the Radziner and to his point, but Yam HaMelech HaMatzai can't actually refer to the Yam HaMelech because nothing lives in the Yam HaMelech. According to what we're saying, the Yam HaMelech only became the Yam HaMelech over time, post Churban Beis HaMikdash, because of the tears of Hashem into the Yam HaGadol. But that means that at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was certainly not the Yam HaMelech. And even after Churban Beis HaMikdash, it didn't become the Yam HaMelech all at once. I mean, over the course of time, as the Kadosh Baruch Hu continues to cry, it becomes salty and saltier. As it's pointed out by those who observe the Yam HaMelech, that the Yam HaMelech is not just a salty body of water, it continues to get saltier and saltier. That means that the Kadosh Baruch Hu continues to cry, which is why, in the state of Churban which we're in, Bava Nesin HaRabim, so the Yam HaMelech, which was once the Yam HaGadol, is the Yam HaMelech. But it could be that, in fact, the Chilazin was found in the actual Yam HaMelech, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, before it became the Yam HaMelech. The fact that the Yam HaMelech is a result of Churban Beis HaMikdash will help us explain a Gemara Yushalmi in Shkalim. The Gemara tells us, V'haya b'yamahu yitzmayim chayim b'yushalayim. Then in the times, la'asalavo, a stream of mayim chayim will leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As the Gemara says, Tani beis Kodesh HaKadoshim al parechis. The Gemara explains the trail, the different trails and streams which will break off from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Pasuk says, Uvo hayama. One of the stops that this trail of Mayim Chayim will come to is Yama, the sea, to which the Gemara identifies as the Yam HaMelech. Why, says the Gemara? Bishvil lemiskan. In order to correct, to fix, to sweeten the waters of the Yam HaMelech. What we see from here is that the Yam HaMelech is not a lechatchila. And it's the tikkun of the Yam HaMelech is associated with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and according to what we're saying, the shidduch is very good. Because the Yam HaMelech is only Yam HaMelech because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But once the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, then the water will flow from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the sweet waters of the Kodesh HaKadoshim will sweeten the tears in Yam HaMelech and restore it to the Yam HaGadol, to the way that it was before. An added hesber to that would be as follows. The Medrash says that the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael, Asid of the Spashit, that the borders of Eretz Yisrael will, in Mitzvah Hashem one day, expand themselves. Not only will the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael expand, but all the borders of Kedusha will expand. That means that the Beis HaMikdash, which right now occupies the space of Har HaBayis, will expand and cover the entire Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim will expand, and it will cover the entire area of Eretz Yisrael, and the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael will expand and cover the entire area of the world. So it could be that, although I don't recall the Medrash saying so, that even the Kodesh HaKadoshim will expand, will probably cover the land of the entire Beis HaMikdash, since the Beis HaMikdash will be expanding, covering the entire area of Yerushalayim. But the Tikkun begins with the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the Shorush of Al Kedusha. And the reason why there's a Mayim Chaim which will flow from the Kodesh HaKadoshim and come to the Yam HaMelech is because Kol Zman that the Yam HaMelech is there, and the Yam HaMelech is Melech, the tears of a Kodesh Baruch over the destruction, the Gvulus of Eretz Yisrael can't expand. And that's why in these parashiyas, during the Yimei HaMitzarim, we read about the Gvulus of Eretz Yisrael, because as a result of the Churban, and until the Beis HaMikdash is restored, the Gvulus of Eretz Yisrael are set. And the Gvulah, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael cannot be nispashet. Because the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael are the Yamim, the bodies of water which surround it, primarily the Yam HaGadol, the Yam HaMelech, the Kinneret. What doesn't allow that to happen is the Yam HaMelech, which represents Churban Beis HaMikdash, which is why the Bnei Yischasa refers to it, going back to the original point, as the Malchus de Sitra Achar, the stronghold of the Sitra Achar. But since the water will flow from the Kodesh HaKodashim in Binyan Beis HaMikdash to sweeten those waters, the Yam HaMelech, that will eventually allow the Kodesh HaKodashim to expand, the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, and eventually Eretz Yisrael to expand as well. But that would explain why these days are called Bein HaMitzarim. Mitzarim is also, doesn't just mean the borders, it could be broken down into Meitzar Yam, that the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael are defined by the Yamim, by the bodies of water. And in fact, even Rashi in his commentary on Parshas Maaseh refers to the Yam HaMelech as a Meitzar, although the Torah always uses the Lashon of a Gvul. So what we see from here is that there's a water which will flow from the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sweeten the waters of the Yam HaMelech. Why Kodesh HaKadoshim? Like we explained, it's the Shorash of Kedusha, but perhaps what this is implying is that just as the Yam HaMelech is salty because of the tears of Kodesh Baruch Hu is crying because of Churban, eventually Kodesh Baruch Hu will cry tears of joy. Because the Beis HaMikdash is the place of which the Sfarim say, Oy zecher v'bim kaimai, that it's kulo ava, kulo simcha, kulo dveikus. And when Hashem will cry those tears of joys, it will eventually sweeten the tears of Tsar and Churban, which created the Yam HaMelech. Perhaps there's a remnant to this in the Kavanas of the Arizal and Shemona Esrei, where he says in the beginning of the Shemona Esrei, based on the Gemara, that a person has to attach himself to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim. And at the end of Shemona Esrei, the Ari has a Kavana, and actually I should point out that the Ari there has a Kavana of Hashem, Beis Vav Chaf Vav, which the Sfarim say refers to tears. When you say Hashem Susayat Tiftoch Haf Yagitil Asecha, to be mechavin that shame, which implies crying. So, according to our explanation, it's referring to tears of joy, because we're attaching ourselves to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And at the end of Shemona Esrei, the Ari says, Yishu L'Ratzanim Yifiv Yigal Mifin Hashem Siv Yigal Alit, Ben Bechavein, the letter Yud 9 times, because Yud, which is 10 times 9, is Gematria 90, which equals Mayim. And the Ari says, Ben Bechavein, this Mayim, because the entire secret of the Tefillah depends on this Kavanah. So perhaps the Pshat is that it's referring to the Mayim Chaim, which you began with in the beginning of Shemona Esrei, that at the end of Shemona Esrei, it should be nispashin to breach beyond its gvul and to expand the borders of the Shemona Esrei beyond its borders, i.e. the borders of the Kedusha. Without getting deeper into that Kavana, perhaps we see an association, as we have seen, between Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Yam HaMelech and another location as well. Because at the end of a Suda, when we're about to bench, we say Ana Haras Bavel during the week, and then we bring out the Mayim Achronim. What's the correlation between the two? Because the Mayim Achronim, the Gemara says, is a chayiva because of Melach Sedaimis. Melach Sedaimis, because Sedom is the place which eventually became the Yam HaMelech. Rashi says in Parashas Lech Lecha that, like we had pointed out, Emek Hasidim Hu Yam HaMelech, that it was an Emek, and after Sodom and Amor were destroyed, so it became filled with water, and that's the Yam HaMelech. So really, Yam HaMelech has a connection to Sodom. Sodom was destroyed by Melech, right? It also has a connection to this Inyan. But the reason why the Yam HaMelech is connected to the Melech Sedaimis brings us to the Anahar Esbava. Because we say, Anahar Esbava, Shom Yashavnu Gam Bachinu, that the tears of Churban Beis HaMikdash are relevant to the whole Inyan of Achila and Shtia. And that brings us to the Melech Sedaimis, which is the Yam HaMelech, because that represents the tears of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Inyan of Churban Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps there's a remez, as he had pointed out, about Shabbos Chazayin, that it references Yom HaMelech. Even in the Haftarah, there's a reference to Stam and Amayra. But perhaps Shabbos Chazayin, we can say the following thing. Chazal say that, the Svarim I should say, point out that Shabbos is called an Ois, Ois Hila Olam. An Ois is a letter. If Shabbos is a letter, which letter does Shabbos represent? So perhaps based on the following Tanchuma, we could say that Shabbos is represented by the letter Lamed. Because the Tanchuma says, Ois Hila Olam, Kishem Shalimeitz Chos Al Adam Harishon. But on that pasuk of Ois Hila Olam, the Medrash says that Shabbos was Melamed Tzchus on Adam HaRishon after his chait. Melamed Tzchus is a Lashon Lamed. And even Ois Hi Le, right, can imply the letter Lamed. Shabbos is a letter Lamed, because it's Melamed Tzchus. And perhaps the reason why Shabbos Chazayin has this Lamed associated with it is because Shabbos Chazayin is Melamed Tzchus on Klal Yisrael before the Churban, that before Tisha B'Av, that there's going to be a big kitrik on us for Churban Mesa Mikdash, Shabbos has a way of being Melamed Tzchus like it did by Adam HaRishon as well. So since Shabbos, and again, without getting further into the Drush, you could say that really there are 52 Shabbos in the year, and there's 22 letters, and the letters are, there's a secret that all the letters are kafel, they're doubled. So you could say that really every single Shabbos of the year corresponds to a different ois, and perhaps Shabbos Chazayin is a lamed, like we said, it's malamed tzchus. But if you say Shabbos is a lamed, ois hila oilam, and it's Shabbos Chazayin, so that would mean Shabbos, lamed Chazayin spells chilazon, which would also be merames to the inyan of the tcheles, to the Yom HaMelech during this time of year. So it comes out that be'emes the Yom HaMelech has been formed and is the way that it is because of the tears of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Yisrael Mikdash. But it wasn't always that way. And that's perhaps why the Torah refers to it many times as Yom HaRava Yom HaMelech. Just like in Parashas Lech Lecha, the Torah called it Yom HaMelech, and Rashi says it wasn't yet the Yom HaMelech, the Torah is just telling you what it will be. So too, each time the Torah refers to Yom HaMelech, it says Yom HaRava Yom HaMelech, to say that really right now it's Yom HaRava. Because the waters weren't salty yet. In fact, the Arava is a lesson of sweetness. The waters were probably very, very sweet. But eventually the Yom HaRava would become Yom HaMelech. And Badafka during these 3 weeks, it's called Yom HaRava Yom HaMelech because it represents Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Meitzar. But in Parshas Va'eschana, which is already Nachamu, which is outside the 3 weeks, the Torah does reference Yom HaMelech, but this time in Parshas Va'eschana, it only calls it Yom HaRava, doesn't call it Yom HaMelech. Because in the Nachama, which represents the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, that refers to the Tikkun of the Yom HaMelech from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but already that will restore the Yom HaMelech into being once again the Yom HaRava. There's a shtickle nechama within the Yom HaMelech, the fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu cries tears. The Yom HaMelech is always getting saltier and saltier. And based on the Gemara that these comes from the tears of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that means to say that although it's been 2,000 years, the Kodesh Baruch Hu continues to cry over Churban Beis HaMikdash. And if he continues to cry over Churban Beis HaMikdash, inherent in that is a nechama for us that if he's still crying, that he hasn't given up, and he's looking forward to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzapin Yeshua in the same way that we are. And just like we sit and we cry and we're mitzavel Churban Beis HaMikdash and we shed tears over that, like Rashi says, Eis Livkais in Koheles, that refers to Tisha B'Av, it's a time of tears, Eini Eina Yordamayim. So Mitz Hashem, like we had pointed out, that there will be new tears, tears of joy, Oiz V'Chevim Kam, which will flow from the Kodesh HaKadosh, and we should be able to see with our own eyes the sweetening of those waters, U'mach Hashem, Dima Me'al Kaponim, with the Kam, Mashiach Tzidkenu, here in the Golem.